Podcast machen voll Bock, ey.
Open Court, der FC Bayern Basketball Podcast, powered by Byber. Heute mit einem Spezial. One Club, One Family. Ein besonderes Treffen gab es vor wenigen Tagen an der Säbener Straße. Für das Bayern Magazin 51 traf Basketball-Head Coach Andrea Trinchieri erstmals auf Julian Nagelsmann, den Cheftrainer der so erfolgreichen Fußballer des FC Bayern München. Da dieses Meeting unserer Meinung nach spannend war, haben wir euch die Tonspur zu einem Podcast-Special arrangiert. Vor dem sportartenübergreifenden Austausch hatten sich Nagelsmann und Trinchieri zunächst an Korb und Torwand getestet, ehe die beiden aus ihrer jeweiligen Welt berichteten, Gemeinsamkeiten entdeckten und ihre Art der Teamführung darlegten. Auch der persönliche Umgang mit dem sogenannten Druck in der Leistungsbranche Profisport war ein Thema und was es bedeutet, für die Weltmarke FC Bayern Verantwortung zu tragen. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Nach dem ersten Kennenlernen erzählte Andrea Trinchieri zu Beginn über seine Kindheit als Fußballfan in seiner Heimatstadt Mailand.
Okay, you know, Milano is really a football city. Yeah. And my dad was a Milan fan, AC Milan fan. And since I was 8, every Sunday we were going to San Siro. You've been in San Siro, yeah. So you know what does it mean, okay? And he said to me, we are supporters of Milan. Okay, so I said, Milan, 8 years old, the dad is the god, so. But then the week after, we went to see Inter Milan. And I asked, Papa, why we are here? Because we come here to see Milan winning and to see Inter losing. So this is the first step in a derby when you are 8 years old. Yes. So.
Julian Nagelsmann, on the other hand, was always fan of FC Bayern. So he surely remembers some matchups against Milan.
Yeah, they had a great team. At the moment, it's kind of difficult for them. But now it's getting better and better.
Slowly.
Slowly, but it's getting better and better. But yeah, years ago, it was a really competitive team in Europe. Always have the chance to win the Champions League. So at the end, it was always exciting if you watch games of Milan, not only against Bayern Munich, but especially against Bayern Munich. There were a lot of tough games, and I remember a lot of games of Milan as well. I remember Inzaghi, I remember Andrea Pirlo, I remember Andrei Shevchenko. Yeah.
But you were a defender, right?
Yes, Nesta.
So we had the best. So Baresi, Nesta, Maldini is something that it's unmatched so far for us.
Nesta was a kind of role model for me when I was a youth player. Because it was the first defender, also Maldini, but Nesta was the first defender who had a brilliant build-up game. And never go on the ground, he always tried to solve the situations by running and just try to solve situations by having a perfect build-up game and not only by fighting.
True, he was really a star.
Yeah, really, really.
Really, one of the best ever for us.
Speaking of tough matchups, Coach Trinchieri also attended the Champions League final in Munich in 1993 together with his father.
Yes, it was not very nice because, you know, the game was like many Champions League finals, you know, that the first idea was I don't make mistakes and the other team doesn't make mistakes. And we will see what will happen. But then Basile Boli, mamma mia.
Against Marseille. Huh?
Yeah. You know, with a header, they score. But I had the luck to see also some other games. I saw maybe one of the biggest upset, you know, when we played Barcelona in Athens and Romario, unbelievable team. And Johan Cruyff was the coach. And he was a little bit arrogant, you know, because we didn't have Baresi, and we didn't have even Costa Curta because they both were with the two yellow cards and they could not play. And that game was something I will never forget, because when you see a team from the first minute so focused on the assignments, it's a pleasure to watch.
Great game.
The coaches now move from the football pitch to the basketball court. Julian Nagelsmann loved watching NBA games when he was young, but that passion came with some difficulties.
It wasn't that easy to watch basketball games because I have to go to school in the early days. I have to train hard as well. I want to be a professional player. So at the end, I think the The biggest experience was when I went to Dallas. I watched two games, Dallas Mavericks against Houston Rockets. It was a brilliant game, and also against Golden State was also a brilliant game.
Not bad.
Dirkulis played there, and it was two brilliant games. I loved it. But when you live in Germany, it's not that easy to watch games.
If you have to work the day after, it's not the easiest thing.
It's hard. But the biggest players, Michael Jordan is one of the biggest players, Scottie Pippen, LeBron James, Steph Curry. Now when you see him playing, I think he would be a perfect player for soccer as well, if he could play soccer. But when you see his mind and his quick movements, I think it's also the most expressive things when you watch basketball players. They are so tall, they are physical that strong, but they can move that quick. When you see guys who are overall, 2 meters and three or something like that, and they can move that quick, I think that's they are really perfect athletes. So at the end, I think that's the most impressive thing when you watch games of basketball, NBA or Bundesliga.
To me, the most impressive thing you are doing that, we are, as a coach, I draw things, you go there, but we do the things with the hands.
Yeah.
You do the thing with feet. And this is, so the level, it's totally different.
Yeah, the coordination between your eyes and your hands are easier than the coordination
it's
between your eyes
big
and
time.
Your feet.
This is what, I was trying to ask, big players, coaches, what is the tactics? It's the tactics that you have to take in consideration that we play with feet and not with hands. So it's a little bit more difficult.
So they might be working with different tools, but what is the same for both disciplines and for any coach is their expectations towards great athletes.
As coaches, what you want from your players is that they deliver. They deliver every day. So you can count on them. It's not, they have to be accountable. And to me, the thing that Lewandowski is like, you put the coin and you have a goal. Yeah. This is like a jukebox. This is a song, but his song is to score every time. And this is, you build teams on the shoulders of these kind of players.
That's right. Yeah, that's not that easy, but it's easy to work with him because he's always stay focused, always try to improve his performance, always try to be a better player than the day before. So he won every title.
He's still hungry now, and he's 33.
That's brilliant. So that's easy to work with him, but he's still listening to your words and try to improve. So that's impressive.
I see that every game you play. Yeah. He's there every game. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
So the two definitely agree not only on what makes a great athlete, but on how unbelievable Levi is as well. But let's hear if they move into the same direction in terms of club identity too, and if they keep an eye on the other's team.
It's not that easy to follow in the stadium or near to the court because of Corona pandemic, but I follow the results. I said congratulations for the big, you say a normal victory, but I said a big victory against Bonn. I follow the results, but it's not that easy to follow the games at the moment. You know where you are.
I know very well. I was following before because I always had great curiosity about FC Bayern for the style of and how they were doing the things. Yeah. So I always follow and I always watch all Champions League games with great pleasure, and the thing that I like the most is that a young trainer has an opportunity to be at this level. This is good for all young coaches, yeah, that you have a chance. It's very important.
Yeah. If you are a manager of a team of Bayern Munich, you always have to win. You have to win titles. So at the end, the slogan "Mir san mir," or "This is us," something like that,
yeah,
is important. I think doesn't matter if it's basketball or if it's soccer or every other sport. So at the end, there is a mixed identity. So it's still important if you're a manager of a team of Bayern Munich. You always have to win. That's for you, I think, the same than for me.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Is it also important how?
Yeah.
Not only.
But sometimes
this is what I saw from.
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes there are games when it's only important to win, but normally, as you mentioned, sometimes it's just to win, and it's important how you play
and what you develop.
Should be emotional football. Should be emotional for the fans when they came back into the stadium. It's kind of important that they have an emotional experience time when they watch our games and not only see a good result. But at the end, if they can decide a good result or just emotional game, they should use should say, I want to have a good result, but at the end, should be a mix. I think it's the same for you.
Definitely. The thing is that at the end of the day, I use the word sell, but we sell emotions.
Yeah.
Emotions could be a win, or can be also how you get this win, or with whom you get this win. Young player building your house, you know, in your garden, so you develop things. So I always believe that, you know, Bayern did the things, is doing the things in a little different way than all other big clubs.
I think how you think about a victory is for a manager the same as for a fan. You're feeling better if you have a good winning style and a good emotional game, and you got the 3 points and you win the game, but you do it well, and you try to do the things you discussed or trained during the week well on the pitch on the weekend, then a victory on the weekend counts more than just a win.
We are both relieved when we win. So we did the job, next move to the next one.
That's right.
So Coach Trinchieri now moves on to explain what he thinks to do best in terms of coaching, and Julian Nagelsmann reveals who out of his roster would easily make Trinchieri's team.
I believe I'm a good observer, so from outside, because I want to see the thing from outside and then come here and try to sniff the things, because it's very important. As a coach, you can learn from anybody, any sport, how to prepare a game, how to focus, how leadership and all this. So I believe that I'm in love with Lewandowski because he delivers. Yeah. He delivers. Lewandowski, okay? And I believe that in your locker room, Manuel Neuer has
an important role.
And I grew up with the example of Franco Baresi.
Yeah.
That he's not able to say a word. He's not very communicative, but he was a true leader without talking.
Yeah.
And this is very important, because not everyone is capable of express things. So they lead by example. That sometimes is even more important.
Especially for if you have young talents in your squad, then these kind of role models are very important.
And I like Goretzka very much for his impact.
Yeah.
You have all good players.
That's true. A lot of.
A lot of.
I think the best one is Alphonso Davies. He plays a lot of time, and he's really good, I think. Just watch
so
videos.
Quick.
Yeah, he's quick. I think he's quick also when he drops the ball with his hand. But at the end, I think he's the best player in our squad.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Jamal Musiala also play basketball very often, and they do. Two guys play with each other, I think. But I just watch videos. I do not see them in real. So at the end, you have to.
I have to watch videos too.
You have to analyze it.
I will scout them.
So two new potential signings for the basketball squad. But all jokes aside, the two managers now take a deep dive into what pressure means to them and what role it plays in their everyday realities.
I heard one of his interviews. He said that when we are in sports, professional sports, you drift a little bit out of reality.
Yeah.
Okay, our reality is not common people reality. So when we talk about pressure is to work every day in order that your family has to eat. This is pressure. But the pressure we have to win games, to develop a system, to develop a team, is a good pressure. And I feel like I'm privileged, because this means that I'm doing something with a purpose.
Yeah.
Not just go there and do your best. Play good. What means play good? It's too general. So this is the way I see pressure in professional sports.
Now, for me, it's also important. I think I heard true words at the end. Pressure is important, because if you feel pressure in games, then you know the games counts a lot. So at the end, if you just play a game, then you will see that the performance will not be that good if you feel kind of pressure, if you're kind of nervous before the game. I think that's normal, and it's important to do your best at the end and try to stay focused over the 90 minutes, try to do the plan on the pitch, try to be better than the opponents. So at the end, pressure is always a sign of being well prepared because it's an important game. And I also feel pressure in soccer because of the fans. There are a lot of fans who want to be happy after the game. There are a lot of families behind the players who want to be happy after the game. So at the end, it's not only a pressure I feel for myself, I feel for my players and for the whole club, because we want to see a lot of spectators in the stadium who are happy after that, as we mentioned before. So at the end, I also feel it's a good pressure. It's not that hard that I cannot sleep or that I do not feel comfortable in my life. I think it's a good pressure and I love to do it. I love to manage games with pressure.
It's a very difficult job, very complicated, because we deal with human beings and human being has expectation, they have pressure and all these things, but I believe it's an amazing job. And as I told you, I'm privileged to do this job. And I see only positive things from pressure. The job of coaching team sports changed a lot in the last 10 years. And because I'm reading what he's saying, you know, I always try to. And he said that coaching is winning titles, but is also speaking to a group of people, talking to media, and having empathy with the players. Because the biggest lie we say as coaches is every player is the same. It's not true. Every player has different needs, how to talk to him, how to address things, how to ask him to do more or to do less or to do different. So this is a very updated version of coaching. This is the reason because Julian is so modern, because you cannot coach the same way 10 years ago. Now you do one thing and after 60 seconds, this thing is on a video somewhere else in the world. Right. Everywhere, from Thailand to Argentina or somewhere. And you cannot ignore these things. Players are human beings. And this is the reason, because he's modern.
I could remember it was a Bundesliga game with Hoffenheim against Mainz. And it was halftime. And we met with our coaching staff. And it was totally calm. I just focused, tried to analyze the things, tried to find the idea for the second half, how we can do an equalizer, or perhaps we could win. So I said to my video analyst, we just have to score 4 goals and then it's easy, it's an equalizer. They score 4 goals in the first half against us, we could do it against them as well. So at the end, it was really calm. I go in the dressing room, I see all my guys, and then I started really, really calm. I just analyzed two things, and then I saw a scene, and I felt a little bit aggressive again. And then I'm getting louder and louder. And then the result was I kicked the box like this. And I thought it was full of material, the box, but the box was empty. So it was not that heavy. And I kicked it with all my power, with the right foot. So at the end, when it would be full of material, it will not fly, but it was empty. So it flies over the dressing room and hits one of my forwards in the knee. And then he said,
it's a good
kidding.
Story.
Yeah, he's kidding. He said, oh, I cannot play the second half. And then I got more angry and I said, it's just a joke. And then at the end, it's 4-4. We do the equalizer. Perhaps because of the box, perhaps not. But it was a really, really cool story at the end. This moment when I saw the box flying through the dressing room, I was kind of shocked. When you win the game, then it's not that hard. But at the end, if you win a game, you stay focused and you think about the next game. And then you think about the 90 minutes, what happened, what you can talk to the media, what are your first words in the dressing room towards your guys. They are also important after a game, what you find for good or bad words after a game when you talk to your team. And then you focus on the next game, because you know if you win a game, it only counts 1 hour, and then you have to focus. The players can enjoy the 3 points a little bit longer, but as a manager, you have to stay focused nearly 20 minutes after the game for the media, talking to the media, and then talking to your guys, and then just try to prepare the next opponent. So at the end, when we lose a game, I feel kind of, a good word is shame. I always think about, was the preparation good enough, the plan, was it good enough? could we do it better? Could we change the formation during the game? Substitutions were the right ones or not? So at the end, if you lose a game, I feel kind of shame. But you're alone because you don't want to celebrate with the fans. It's just a role and the part of the players. You try to focus on the next opponent. So I can feel, I can see the feeling as well. Barefoot to walk towards and over ice, it's hard. So at the end, I can see the feeling, yeah.
I don't know if you are aware that we are in front of road to greatness, because usually the first thing after a loss is to blame somebody else. And Julian just said something that I feel very often. You feel ashamed, first towards yourself.
Yeah.
What you can do better, what you can do more, or what you should not do. And this is the only way that you have to check on your ego and to move on to be better. So
it's a hard feeling, huh? It's a really hard feeling.
But I believe it's growing pains.
Yeah.
If you don't check on yourself before you go in the locker room and said, we have to do this, we have to do that better, your players will sniff it right away.
But I think the crazy thing is that you enjoy a winning moment only, I don't know, 2 hours. And
maybe less.
The heart, if you lose a game, it's hard. It's 2-3 days when you carry
yes.
It's with you.
But it's good that
it's not that easy.
We as coaches have this feeling,
yeah.
Because players with that feeling will not perform.
Yeah,
they need just to go there and bounce back.
But I think that's the most difficult part in our job, that you stay optimistic after a lose as well. And you go in front of your team, you have to find the right words that they...
Sometimes I'm not negative.
They should not feel that you are very sad or upset and that you feel ashamed.
I believe that they should feel that you have a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when the things
you
are not going...
You always have to find the right words. That's,
yes.
But it's not that easy, I think.
No.
If you lose, if there's a big lose, like in the cup against Gladbach,
uh-huh.
So I do not have to find the words because I was in quarantine, but normally I have to find it. So at the end, I think that's the most complicated part of our job, that you find the right words after you lose a game. You're so sad, you feel shame, you think about the things you have to do better, and then try to stay focused. And if the players should feel your energy and should feel that you have a plan for the next week and you're looking forward to the next week, try to work as hard as possible, try to do the things good for the next game. But that's not that easy if you feel upset like nearly 3 days after every losing game.
And one of the best medicines is that they feel your support,
yeah.
Even after a loss.
Yeah, that's right. Doesn't matter if you win or lose.
You cannot sleep.
Yeah, I cannot sleep. It took a long
4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Adrenaline, the software doesn't go sleep.
Yeah.
It's still, you know.
Sometimes when I fall asleep, I scream the names of my players after a game. My wife told me. Sometimes she wake up in the night and
I have a small notebook close to my bed. And I found written things in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But the written things was things about the games or what you want to have for breakfast?
No, about what
just
to do
one coffee and one croissant.
About please. What to do next on this specific situation.
Just a joke.
Oh.
It was cool. It would be cool. Please, one cappuccino. And
yeah. You want your player to be, he said it, passionate, to play with emotion. And you cannot be cold as ice.
Yeah. But I think it's always important to try to be nearly perfect. That's one way to be better and better and still improving. But should clear in your brain that you could not reach it normally. But I think it's a really important step. Try to do a perfect job and try to do a perfect game. But you always will try it, but you will not reach it normally.
You know, good is the biggest enemy of excellent. Because when you settle for good, comfort zone, you will never improve. So our job is to strive for perfection, address perfection, teach perfection, be perfect as much as a human being can be perfect. We are imperfect.
Yeah.
And like this, you can build culture, winning culture.
At the end, mistakes are also important to reach the level of perfection. If you never do mistakes, you will never learn. So at the end, mistakes are also important for the future to be perhaps nearer to perfection than the day before.
Yes, this is the reason because you have to address a mistake, because sometimes player doesn't know why one thing is happening.
Yeah.
Because they have this self-protect mode, and for a player it's good, but you need to go through mistakes to be better.
Yeah, it's nearly the same as I mentioned in one of my interviews. I said it's to be manager or coach is like being a baker. You get the flour and so on, try to do the best bread which is possible. You get the ingredients and try to mix it a little bit, trying to find the perfect solution so that the bread smells and tastes very good for breakfast or something else. So at the end, I think it's nearly the same, and I can see the words, yes.
You can be work in a bakery, you can be a chef, you can be a tailor.
Yeah.
It's all, they give you something and you have to put it together and do something better.
Yeah.
Coach Trinchieri and Julian Nagelsmann dig deeper into the history and tradition of the club. What defines a winning mindset? How heavy does the name FC Bayern actually weigh? And who embodies the success and spirit most?
For a sportsman, there's no better picture. Maybe only Michael Jordan taking the last shot of his career. You know, the shot. But the picture for whoever works in sports with, I don't know how many trophies, more than 30. Yeah. The Kaiser has in that picture, huge picture. He's in the middle, surrounded by trophies. You know, we all say it's all about winning. And when you see that picture, you understand why it's all about winning. But you know, that I really felt something, special atmosphere, a special something, Stimmung in everywhere, you know, in the arena, in the museum. I understood the magnitude of the club.
Yeah, it's important. Bayern Munich is a traditional club, a lot of history. They won a lot of titles in the past and try to win a lot of titles in the future as well. There were a lot of great players who played for Bayern Munich, and there are still a lot of great players who still play for Bayern Munich. So at the end, history is important. Could show you a little bit the way for the future as well. Never forget where you come from. I think that's important. It's also a big important part if you want to have new players for your squad. Then Bayern Munich is a big name in soccer, and that's such a big name because of the great history of this club.
And this history has been influenced by great players and coaches in the past, but taking it to the present now, which of the two managers actually has the bigger impact on a running game, the football or the basketball coach?
I think it's a bit easier perhaps for you because the players are nearer to you. You can change them a little bit more often. Then you have kind of the possibility to kind of do short tactical breaks.
The court is smaller.
Yeah.
I can reach with the voice players, and I have a lot of breaks. I have 5 timeouts. Every coach has 5 timeouts, so it's 10 timeouts, plus break between first and second quarter, halftime, and second and third and fourth quarter. So I believe for this reason, I can impact the game more tactically.
Yeah. That's true.
So, could the timeout rule be an improvement for the football culture as well?
Would be perfect. Just fight for them, I don't know, almost 10 years, but it's not that easy in soccer, you know, by your own.
It's something I always ask myself.
Yeah.
This is better for everybody. It's better for the TV.
You see better
it's
games.
It's better for the players, for the coaches, for the fans.
Yeah.
And they should do it. I don't understand why. It's, you know, you can change alignments.
They get money as well for the power
play. Yeah, exactly. So this is something that you should do.
Yeah.
And now, summing up this very intense episode, Coach Trinchieri and Julian Nagelsmann wrap it up by putting it on the spot and telling us what it takes to make an excellent coach.
I think in soccer and in basketball as well, I think the emotional things are more important. If you are very emotional and you have a good empathy and you have a good relationship to your players, it's in soccer it's more important to have a good relationship than to have a brilliant idea. I think the mix of both is very important, but I think it's for you it's nearly the same.
I believe that without energy, without passion and concentration, tactics can go in the Restmüll right away, like this.
That's right, in the Restmüll, very good.
Every change is difficult. I know many coaches that has great ideas. Not everyone is lucky enough to have players that are willing to listen to new ideas. So it's always a mix. And I don't believe that you can have a system. anymore, general system, because it depends on who, what players you have, how, what they need. And I don't believe you can decide before how you're going to do everything. You can have culture, you can have a general system, but then it's what you have on the pitch, what you have in the locker room. So you adapt. Coaches are creative because they are able to adapt. And every season, even if you are in the same club, is a different season. Even if you say the same player, it's every time different.
Yeah, I agree. At the end, I think you always can think about new things and new part and try to do something more than something something different. But at the end, it's always important that it will lead to a better performance. And sometimes you have a feeling inside that you want to be more creative, create more good things. But at the end, as Andrea mentioned, it's important to adapt to your players, and they have to should be able to do a good performance on the pitch and not only. Try to focus on your ideas because you want to be that creative, but at the end, all your ideas have to lead to a better performance. And if that is possible, then it's still possible to do different things in soccer as well. But it's not that easy, and you always have to think about if it's useful or not.
The most modern thing is winning the game, man.
Das war sie, die 9. Folge der 2. Staffel von Open Court Powered by Byver. Wir hoffen, dass euch dieser Mitschnitt des Trainermeetings an der Sebener Straße gefallen hat. Lasst uns gern eine Rezension da, zum Beispiel bei Apple Music oder Spotify. Empfehlt den Podcast weiter. Und falls ihr ein bestimmtes Thema oder Gesprächspartner auf der Seele brennt, ja, schickt uns eure Anregung an opencourt@fcbayern.com. Demnächst geht's dann mit einer regulären Folge hier bei Open Court Powered by Byver weiter. Bis dahin.